Good evening, church family. We're going to start out in a young men's devotional, and Zach is going to lead Jesus Loves the Little Children. So let's all join in and sing together. You ready? Here we go. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Jesus rose for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus rose for all the children of the world. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes.
Symbol on the napkins. We shall assemble on the mountains. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into His presence. We
we will be reading Matthew 5:16, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives the light to everyone in the house.
There's always something with me in this microphone.
I will be singing 470, Victory in Jesus, verses 1 and 3. I heard an old story, have a sacred name from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary.
help us to worship in spirit and in truth during this upcoming time. Please forgive us of our sin. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to welcome everyone. We do have visitors. We're glad you're here with us. We have just a few announcements we need to make before we begin. If you're a visitor, if you would not mind, we'd appreciate you filling out one of the white cards on the back of the pew in front of you. And we'll have some young men pick those up before we dismiss this afternoon. Also, if you're one of our members and you have any special needs, if you would fill that out, it would be appreciated as well. Regarding our sick, remember Charles Parker. He's requesting no visitors, but he is at NAMC at this time. Also, keep Carl Boyd, the brother of Nora Vincent, in your prayers. He's not in good health, and he's in Texas. We're having a baby girl diaper pounding for Ashley Farah that will go through August 21st. You can bring your diapers and place them in the basket that's located in the foyer. We'll also be having a baby girl shower for Sheena Holt on Sunday, August 28th from 2:30 to 4 p.m. in the family room. She's registered at Amazon and Target, and shower team number 4 is hosting that. Remember the World Bible School Benefit Dinner. This is Tuesday, August 30th at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. And there's a sign-up sheet on the table in the foyer located beside the sound room, and you're encouraged to please come to that and participate in it. We're in need of a food delivery coordinator for our sick and shut-in members, as Austin mentioned this morning. In the past, one person is taking care of this, so we're actually looking for 16 ladies. So we would appreciate you very much. Yes?
That's because that'll fill out the rest of this year, uh-huh, all of next year. One person per month finish this year and all next year. That's true.
Okay. So the 16 ladies would get us all the way through 2023.
That's right.
Okay. So check your mailbox for, you need to stop talking, buddy. Check your mailbox for a letter in that regard. Widows and widowers, you'll be having a meeting tonight following services down front, so keep that in mind. That's all the announcements we have. We'll begin.
We've been having some technical difficulties tonight, loading all the songs and stuff for worship. Everything went black, so they're working on that, but they got that up there. That's great. Most everything we can sing from heart. If we lose a screen, let's just follow along. Let's stand as we begin our worship this evening. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again.
Fill his heart with thy love, may his soul be rekindled with thy from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah. Pain and despair and happy
Come we that love the Lord and let our joy be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And us around the throne and us around the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may sing their joys abroad, may sing their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Next song will be Doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Let's join our minds in prayer. Father God, we come before your throne this evening, praising you, the only true and living God, the Creator. Father, there is no one or no thing higher than you. Those of this earth praise the creation. Father, we praise you, the Creator. Father, our language does not allow us to say the words of just how high you are, how mighty, how holy, how full of love. We thank you for that love. Father, we thank you for filling our needs each and every day. We pray for those in this world that are having a hard time right now, those people in Ukraine, the Christians there, the people that have been scattered. Father, we asked, if it be in your will, that you would make good come from this. Father, we thank you for our children, for our grandchildren. Father, the lovely smiles, the gentle kisses that we get from these kids are truly one of the best things on the face of this earth. Father, we are mindful of our own lives and how we sometimes miss the mark. We sin, we stray, we say the wrong thing at the wrong time. We ask for your forgiveness in this, your patience. And Father, instill in us a determination to do better. Father, we have some things that we'd like to ask for tonight. Tonight we ask that you would open doors so that we can go into the area of Eastern Kentucky and help the people that have been harmed there by natural flood. And Father, while we work, we ask that you would open the doors and the minds of those people there so that we can go and teach. Open your gospel to them that have not heard it. Display your word to those who have heard it but not believed it. And shine our light as we get that light from you and your word. Father, for the young parents in this crowd tonight, we ask for an extra measure of patience. We ask that you would instill in them a heart and a mind of peace. And give them the knowledge that the small lives that they have in their care will not be small for long. Father, we come before your throne tonight in worship, and it is our desire that this worship is pleasing to you and would bring a smile to your face. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. This evening's scripture reading will be Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, and it'll be from the New King James Version. But before I begin, I had joked with Austin about, you know, there not being any hard words before having read it. And there's not, but when I was reading the first verse, I came across the word scruples, which isn't necessarily a word that we use a lot, so I thought it would be prudent to look it up. And I read the definition, and it'll kind of make more sense in the verse, or especially give more meaning. Scruples in this sense is a feeling of doubt or hesitation with regard to the morality or propriety of a course of action. Now, verses 1 through 7. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You may be seated.
Scott, thank you for that very much. So Romans 15 is going to end up being the outline of the entire lesson of Ezekiel. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Another phrase is, my dad always told me the best time to preach about hard times is when you're going through good times. So maybe this will be something you stick in your back pocket for a future season of life. Because Ezekiel will bear a burden that I would not wish on anybody. As a matter of fact, he did three things commanded by God in his book, God's book, he being the prophet. And I don't know if you've ever heard before. It may not ever happen again. And what we're talking about here is, first off, in verse 1 of Romans 15, we are obligated. You tell me a superhero. Which superhero is there that has never helped out the weak? Every superhero is a hero and super because they help out the weak. We have an obligation to do that as Christians. And that brings about a mentality of not just pleasing ourselves. And watch this. Ezekiel is a prophet, had to help the weak, and that's why he obediently followed the commands of God to do what he did, to live in as an example for those who needed to be reminded about the Lord their God. And so verse 2, the mentality is, let us each look to the good of our neighbor, to build them up, which is really a summation of Ezekiel's life. Even Christ in verse 3, Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who approached you fell on me. And now we get to verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now let's talk about what was written in the former days. And to do that, let's skip back to Ezekiel. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. There you go. I'll give you some time to turn there. Scott, by the way, I appreciate the way you prepared us for that scripture. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate everybody studying the scriptures. I feel like we as a congregation have a heart that is devoted to the study of the Word of God. That's happening in our assemblies, in our Bible classes, in your homes, in groups, in smaller groups, and individuals. And I hear about it a lot, so thank you for that. And thank you for that collective heartbeat. Ezekiel. Specifically in Ezekiel chapter 24. Now, I need to give you a word of caution. This is extreme. But if you have ears to hear, listen to what the Lord has said. Ezekiel 24, starting in verse 15. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man. Behold, I'm about to take the delight of your eyes away from you in a moment. Yet you will not mourn or weep, nor shall your tears run down your cheek. Sigh, but not aloud. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban. Put your shoes on your feet and do not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. One translation say, don't even eat the food that your friends bring you as consolation. So I spoke to the people, Ezekiel said in verse 18, in the morning and at evening, my wife died. The morning after, I did as the Lord commanded. I have to read that very, very solemnly. Why would God tell Ezekiel not to mourn the death of his wife? Recently, I read a letter that was written to me. Why I cannot believe the Bible is from God, and therefore, why God isn't real. The individual wrote that letter to me specifically, using this, as well as other extreme stories that we would call from the scriptures, to prove from the scriptures that God isn't real. And if he is, this definitely can't be his book. People have been deceived, and they see the extremes of what we think to be extreme lengths that God has called his people to walk by faith and say, no God would ever call someone to do something like that. Therefore, there is no God. That seems to be a quick jump from point one to point two. Illogical and deceived, I believe. Can I try and explain this? Maybe this will help out someone you know. Maybe this might even help you out too. Why would God call him to do this? It almost seems grotesque, maybe even a bit cold. How could he do it, and why would he do that? And then how do we deal with that command and that text? Well, first off, we need to understand that God has called Ezekiel to do some overt, in public, an extreme preaching of his calling. Three of the most odd things that I've ever read in the scriptures are found in Ezekiel. And I'm not going to tell you what they all mean, because I want you to go ahead and figure it out for yourself. He called Ezekiel to lay on his side out in public where people could see him for 390 days. Lay on your side and let people walk past you and view you. While laying on your side, you can only eat up to 8 ounces of a particular meal, boiled, cooked over a pile of dung that is set on fire. And he did. Shave your head, shave your beard. In essence, make a skirt out of it. Let the wind blow it away and burn the rest. And so the stench of burning hair can be in the noses of each man and woman. And then, your wife is going to die. Do not mourn her death. First off, I've read this passage a few times and quite frankly am awed by it. I can't imagine Ezekiel's pain. And I feel for him. As a matter of fact, my heart cries out to him. But this really just isn't about Ezekiel or his pain. It has to have some relevancy and secondary consideration, not just for them, but for their immediate future and for our upcoming future, if in fact what was written in the former days was written for our instruction and our learning, that through the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures that we might have hope. And so there has to be something for us to consider. And I think there is. So what is it? Because what I love about Ezekiel is, in all of these things, look at verse 18. So I spoke to the people in the morning. At evening, my wife died. And what is that last sentence? And I did as the Lord commanded. The extreme obedience and devotion that brought Ezekiel to being obedient to the Lord is something I want to uphold and exalt within him. And thank you to God. Thank you, God, that he had the strength to carry out that command. Now, why would God do this? I think here's one of the reasons. God's point is to show Israel how calloused they are about him and about his bride. Read further in the text. Verse 19. The people said to me, "Will you not tell us what these things mean for us? That you're acting like this?" People realized you're acting crazy. Then I said to them, and he wasn't acting crazy, by the way. Then I said to them, "The word of the Lord came to me. Say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the delight of your eyes, and the yearning of your soul, and your sons and your daughters whom you left behind shall fall by the sword, and you shall do as I have done," Ezekiel said. When verses 20 and 21 happen, he's telling the people, you need to do, you are going to do, as I am doing. What does he mean? You think I'm crazy that my wife dies and I sit here not mourning, not weeping. Well, God finds it just as crazy that the temple is going to be destroyed because Babylon is going to come in and ransack the town and destroy the temple, take over my city, and you won't even be bothered by it. You think it is unemotional, heartless, and cold. Well, God is trying to show you, you are unemotional, heartless, and cold toward him. Verse 22, "And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. Your turban shall be in your head, and your shoes in your feet, and you shall not mourn or weep, but you shall rot away in your iniquities and groan to one another." And I'd like to close in verse 24. "Thus shall Ezekiel be to you a sign. According to all that he has done, you will do." Ezekiel stands as a symbol. Number one, of extreme obedience, heroic obedience. May we be Ezekiel like that. But he stands, number two, as an example of calloused, cold emotion away from the Lord our God. The imagery is too intense to imagine. The outcome, for those who are cold, calloused, and emotionless towards their God, is even worse. But praise be to God that people have walked by faith and not by sight. I can't imagine what it took to be him and to live the next day with the one he has loved, now gone away. Here's the purpose, verse 24. When this comes, look at verse 24. You might want to underline it. "Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." The whole point of this prophecy was to prove and to show the people that I am God. And if God, I command, I demand, I deserve the utmost of your obedience and your love and your faithfulness. But in their cold and calloused heart, they did not give it to him. I want to draw our minds to Ezekiel, because I do believe that God has called us to be like Ezekiel as a sign to others around us. Because back in Romans chapter 15, and that's just a summary of the Old Testament scriptures. Back in Romans 15, we who are strong have an obligation to bear the failings or the weaknesses, the scruples of the weak. And so we have to be a sign for those other people. I love this phrase. If God has brought us to it, well, then he absolutely can bring us through it. And I think that's a phrase that rings true throughout the scriptures. I'd also like to say this. It is shocking to me as I read and study through the scriptures, the non-immediate rescue of the Lord God. Non-immediate rescue. Israel needed to be rescued, but first disciplined. And so Babylon came and ransacked the town, the community, the people, and then eventually they were rescued on down the road. Non-immediate rescue. This is a theme. When you're suffering, when you're hurting, what do you want, church? Immediate rescue. Come on out, quick. We all do. It's human nature. Look at this, though. Job. How long did Job suffer? He suffered long enough so that there was at least one day of his calamity. There was a gap of time between chapter 1 and chapter 2. All the time it took for his three friends to hear about the message, then to travel to Job, then sit with him for a week, and then speak out, three friends, then a fourth friend speaking out. Then Job spoke, then God spoke, and then God commanded Job's friends, and then Job's friends left, and then Job started praying to God. So however long that took, that's a long time. What about Adam and Eve? They were kicked out of the garden, suffering. Why? Because they had perfect and now must deal with imperfect. How long did they have to live in that? The rest of their lives. Hosea was told to marry an unfaithful woman. Jesus went to John the Baptist, Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 3. This one's fascinating to me. You're behind the prison bars. You're sitting there in jail. Jesus sends one of his messengers to John the Baptist, and he's like, hey, Jesus is wondering if you're the guy. I'm the guy, yada yada, they have the conversation, and then he leaves. And where does John the Baptist stay? In prison. That's always shocked me. All the miracles that Jesus has performed, but John the Baptist? No. Stay right there. Why? How about Paul's thorn in the flesh? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Three times I begged that it would be removed. But God told me, no, stay, because in your weakness I'm strong. Why are all these examples the same? That there is not always an immediate rescue in our sufferings and our hard times. I believe it to be the case because God is calling us to be a sign in the midst of suffering, in the midst of hardships, and in the midst of our circumstances. And so what do we have to think about? First off, we've got to change our mind, be renewed in our heads. As Romans chapter 15, 1 to 7 calls us to be transformed. Think about this. What does 2 Peter 3:8 say? How long is a day with the Lord? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day. So our suffering to the Lord is how long? Momentary affliction. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen, church, they are eternal. So you're probably doing well, and I'm grateful. Me too. But I wanted to bring out an extreme example of a man of extreme obedience, because sometimes those are the ones that stick into our head the most. And this week, I suspect, you'll be confronted by the devil, you'll be faced with temptation, and you may have moments of suffering. Renew your mind, Christian. This light momentary affliction is a call to obedience, to be extreme in your faith, to be a sign and a symbol of faithfulness, and to showcase the Lord your God. And praise be to God that we have a chance to do it. Maybe your life needs an extreme change. I love Ezekiel 24, verse 27. On that day, your mouth will be open to the fugitive. You shall speak and no longer be mute. God speaking to Ezekiel, and he says this, you will be a sign to them so that they will know I am the Lord. I hope your life is being lived in a way that showcases who he is to the world. I heard an interview during the halftime of one of Kentucky's exhibition games. His name is Oscar Tshiebwe. He was the best player in college basketball last year. He's back. His accolades are remarkable. The only player in Kentucky history to win all six Player of the Year awards. But his story is even better. When he was 12 years old in the Congo, tribal leaders found out his dad was a Christian. So they sought him out, they caught him, and they killed him. Previous to that, his dad would tell him, "Son, remember the words that I say. Write them down. Write them down because there's no way you'll be able to remember all the things that I say." In an interview at halftime on ESPN, national television, the reporter said, "What was it like? And do you remember the words that your father spoke?" He said, "I never wrote them down on paper. But I wrote them in my mind, and I wrote them on my heart. And I will never forget them." He didn't talk about a basketball. He didn't talk about his statistics. He talked about praying, preaching, and the power of the gospel. Because the words of the Lord, where ought they to be? Written. Written in our heads and across our hearts. I hope they are on yours. Maybe tonight, God is putting something on your heart you need to share with your church family. And so if you need to respond to that and talk or need prayer, let's do that. I also want to say this before we tune it all out. I need you to know that God saves you. There's no work or level of obedience that will ever earn your salvation. And we worship the Lord our God because He paid the price. What is beautiful about Ezekiel is that he never called any one man to do any single thing that he himself has not done himself. Ezekiel, do this. Why? Because I'm going to allow my bride, the one in whom I find joy, my temple, my city, my people, to be ransacked, kidnapped, and killed, and destroyed. So if you would for a little while, I will for even longer. He looked down and he said, "Give me your life, because I've given my life when I put my son on the cross." I love the Lord our God would not call us to do any single thing that he has not done himself. Except this one. And this is it. Repent of your sin and come. Be faithful to him. Accepting his grace and his forgiveness in a burial of commitment and covenant that we call immersion and baptism. So he can save you to rise and walk in newness of life. If you need to believe and obey that, let's do that now. Let's stand up and sing together.
Jesus, I surrender all.
here this evening and were not able to be here this morning, communion is prepared for you. It's in the room just to the back of the auditorium here. You can go ahead and be dismissed at this time. I mentioned a lot about our Sunday nights and the really just the goodness of this time of worship together. I had somebody say to me a couple weeks ago that, you know, Sunday night services are just dying out. And I was so proud to look him in the eyes and say, no, it's not. Not at Florence Boulevard. Thank you for being here. We continue to trend upward, which is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. The more we can be together and the more we can worship together, the more prepared we're going to be for heaven. And I really commend your commitment to being here on these Sunday nights. I hope you did your homework. Listen to All to Us. This song is a fantastic song. We're going to read through the words so we understand what we're singing. This is taken from several different scriptures throughout the Bible. More than 12 parts of scriptures are used. I want to highlight Psalm 145, verse 11, that says, "They shall speak the glory of your kingdom." And as we read through the words of this song, I hope you I hope we meditate on this, and really, as we're learning a new song, we also let these words saturate within us, because, man, this is one of those songs that absolutely gets us right. The words are precious cornerstone, sure foundation. You are faithful to the end. And we are waiting on you, Jesus, because we believe you're all to us. And the chorus is, "Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us." Second verse is, "Only Son of God sent from heaven, hope and mercy at the cross. You are everything. You're the promise. Jesus, you are all to us." And then it goes through the chorus a couple of times. We'll sing through this. Good song.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be
awesome job. I can tell we've been listening to it. We do, once again, thank you for being here. We want to encourage everybody to be back Wednesday night for a midweek Bible study. That happens at 6:30 right here. Young men, if you would like to go ahead and be looking for any cards that may need to be picked up, you can go ahead and do that. We will stand and sing a couple of verses of I Walk with the King before we are dismissed in prayer. Let's stand.
I walk with the King to heavenly land. Gracious Heavenly Father, Creator of all things, we praise you as the one, the only, the true, the living God who created this universe and everything in it, all things seen and unseen. And Father, we marvel at your power and we are so grateful for the blessings that you pour out on us so bountifully that we live the lives that we do in this country where we have so many things where that many people around the world envy us for. And Father, we pray that you'll never let us forget that all those blessings, every single one of them, comes from you. And the greatest blessing was your Son and his coming to this earth and walking as a man and suffering and dying on the cross for our sins so that we might have the hope of eternal life, that those are all blessings that come from you. And Father, we ask that as we depart from this building, that we remember that we are the church, not the building. And help us to represent your good name throughout our neighborhoods, throughout our cities, that people will want to know more about you, where we have our hope from. Father, we just thank you so much, and we ask that you forgive us and help us and strengthen us in our daily walks. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.